Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on this beautiful Easter morning when it's certainly gloriously bright. Welcome to all, whether you worship with us regularly or you're visiting us for the first time or the second time, all are welcome. We didn't have in the notices anything about these envelopes. It is for the Methodist Church World Mission Fund. And the Methodist women in Britain will be having a service later in the year focusing on women and their contribution in the world. Much of the funds raised by this scheme have gone to South America in particular during the COVID crisis. And we're going to have the envelopes out this week and next because we didn't warn anybody. So welcome to our worship and welcome to Roz, who will be leading us this morning. Well, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
A little bit more enthusiasm. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
This is the best day of the year, isn't it? The day of our celebration of Jesus Christ rising again. And I'm very blessed that I have some thank yous to give as we begin our service. A thank you to the flower team and the banner team for the beautiful decorations in church and some of the crosses and things that are out on the high street for people to pick up as they go along. Also, a thank you to Hilary and Linda for making us our Easter crosses, which you will have in your place, and for Linda for our beautiful new banners, which are helping us focus our worship today. So I think we'll give them a round of applause for all that they have done. This morning, as we follow our path this week and Jesus's path towards this day, we've been meeting the women who accompanied him during that week. And in a little while, we're going to meet Mary Magdalene. But first, I'm going to read to you from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that what he had said, these things to her. And now we meet Mary Magdalene.
My name is Mary. I come from Magdala on the shores of Lake Galilee. Until Herod Antipas built Tiberias, Magdala was the biggest and richest city for miles around. My father used to love to say he was a farmer. And well, he was, of sorts. If you count strolling round his three vineyards, two olive groves, issuing orders to the slaves, and sending his 100 sheep out with their shepherd as farming. I used to love watching the shepherd boys calling their sheep in the morning. The boys would come in the first light of dawn, 10 or more of them, and stand outside the pen and call and call. The sheep would come flooding out, jostling round their shepherds, recognizing their voices, ready for the day's journey to find some grass. Then one day, when I woke up, the world felt very different. I felt different. I felt hazy and distant, as though a veil had settled over my mind. I would walk for miles and miles and miles, restless and ill at ease. They told me I had evil spirits in me, though even that I couldn't take in. I just wanted to be alone, far away from the noise and the clamour of people around me. Once, when I'd been out walking off my restlessness, I met a man by the shores of the lake, talking to a large group of people. Something came over me. I knew I was talking, shouting, shaking, though I had no idea what I was saying. And then, all of a sudden, a wave of peace washed over me. The veil lifted, and I was myself again. The man, Jesus, they said his name was, smiled at me and signaled to the people around him that I should sit at his feet like a real disciple. I held back for a moment. It wasn't seemly for a woman to do that. But he signaled again, and I couldn't resist. And so I sat, and I listened and listened with the whole of my being. He was talking about being the good shepherd and calling his sheep, and them knowing his voice and following him. I smiled at that bit. I knew how true that was. But then, when he talked about knowing the sheep by name and calling their names, I chuckled to myself. He'd clearly never been around sheep very much. I mean, who in their right mind would give sheep a name? It was a nice idea, though. From that moment on, I followed him. Me and a number of other women, like Susanna and Joanna, and a handful of other Marys.
And so let us pray. Almighty God, with joy and praise, with awe and wonder, with gladness and celebration, we bring our Easter worship. We lift up our hearts, we lift up our thoughts, we lift up our voices, we lift up our souls, recognizing afresh all you have done for us in Christ. We rejoice in the message of this day, the good news at the heart of our faith, light after darkness, joy after sorrow, good after evil, life after death. Almighty God, speak to us again today through all we read, all we hear, all we sing, and all we do. May the truth of the resurrection inspire us with new hope. May the victory of Christ fill us with new joy. May the reality of his presence fill us with new faith. And so may we serve you with new vigor to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
So I was there when they killed him. We women clinging together in horror as the unthinkable happened before our eyes. We watched where they buried him, hastily because the sun had begun to dip below the horizon, announcing the start of the Sabbath day. We sat together that day, barely moving or speaking. The shock had rendered us senseless. Then, as the sun dipped again, marking the end of the Sabbath, I sprang to life. We had to do something. We'd agreed between us that we'd return to anoint his body for burial. My first thought was the others, the male disciples. Anointing a man's body after death was a man's job. Perhaps they would like to know where he was laid. I found out where they were staying and hurried round. "Who is it?" an anxious voice shouted in response to my frantic knocking. "Mary from Magdala," I answered. The door opened, just a crack. "What are you doing here? They might find us." James's anxious face peered out. "Who?" I asked, bemused. "The Romans. They always kill the followers after they've killed the leader." I pushed my way in, but soon saw there was little hope in it. The terror in the room was palpable. Peter sat in the corner, rocking and weeping. "He's been like that ever since Thursday evening," James said sadly. "We can't get a word out of him." I returned home, disheartened, my mind spinning. How on earth was I going to find myrrh and aloes enough to anoint his body in a city that I didn't live in? When I got back, I told the others what had happened. "Oh, I wish I'd kept my jar of nard now," said Susanna, wretchedly. "I had no idea we'd need it so soon." "Sweet girl," Jesus' mother said from across the room, stirring herself from her grief-ridden stupor. "You honored him in life. No gift is greater than that. We will find the spices we need." She was right. We did. We spread out across the city, begging, borrowing, and buying what we could. In the early morning, when we met together and compared our haul, we had, we thought, just about enough. We went out carrying large water jars between us to bathe his poor battered body before anointing it. By the time we got near the place where the tomb was, the sun had just risen, casting eerie early morning shadows over the whole area. We'd been talking as we went along about how we'd moved the stone that they'd rolled across the entrance. "That's strange," Salome said as we approached. "The way the shadows fall make it look as though the stone has gone." We looked, all of us straining to see through the early morning light. "That's because it has," said James's mother. Our footsteps faltered, but then started again. We couldn't bear to see what had happened now, but we also couldn't bear not to see. We peeked in through the entrance, and there, right inside the tomb, sitting as comfortable as you like, was a young man, his robe gleaming white. "Don't be alarmed," he said. Salome let out a sound halfway between a laugh and a scream. "He's not here. He's been raised. Go, tell the disciples, especially Peter. Tell them that he's going ahead of them to Galilee." We turned and ran. We ran and ran and ran, dropping the water and the carefully gathered spices as we went, never pausing for breath until we reached the safety of our rented room.
And we sing together, "Now the Green Blade Rises."
In the end, I did tell Peter and the other disciples. I broke into his room weeping with the news of another disaster. Now, on top of everything, they'd taken his body as well. The shock of it was enough to jolt Peter from his misery, and they ran back with me to see the empty tomb. They got there first. Their legs are longer than mine. By the time I arrived, panting and out of breath, they'd seen for themselves that their body was gone, the linen wrapping lying there empty. After they left, I stood outside the tomb for a while, my eyes blinded with tears, wondering whether I could salvage some of the ointment we'd dropped in our terror a few hours earlier. I leant against the entrance and let my grief and weariness take hold of me. After a while, I felt the overwhelming urge to look in the tomb one more time. So I bent and looked in. The young man had now been joined by somebody else, and they were sitting at either end of the ledge. "Why are you crying?" they asked. I opened my mouth to answer when a voice behind me asked me the same question. "Why are you crying?" A tumble of words burst out of me. When I told people about this later, I tidied up my words into a coherent, comprehensible sentence. But the reality is, I babbled on a tide of tears and snot about, "My Lord, his body, it's gone. I don't know where and I don't know what to do." He waited quietly for my gibbering to fade away, and then he said just one word: "Mary." The Good Shepherd had called my name, and I knew his voice with every fibre of my being. Later, people would ask us, those of us who'd met the risen Christ, what he said that made us believe it was really him. Thomas would tell his story of Jesus' wounds and of being asked to put his hands in them. Peter would tell his story of Jesus asking three times, "Do you love me?" And then they'd look at me. "Mary met him first," they'd say. "What did he say to you?" they'd asked. "He said, 'Mary,'" I'd tell them. "Is that all? Didn't he say anything else?" They looked a bit disappointed. But I wasn't. Not for a moment.
Jerusalem. Jesus is alive. Alleluia. Now we come to our prayer of intercession. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, whose goodness and grace overflow when you raised Jesus from the dead, let your goodness and grace continue to flow upon your people. We thank you for Mary Magdalene, for she was the first to tell the Christ resurrection. Her powerful witness of Jesus Christ was undoubtedly put in place to strengthen our faith and of others. We pray for those like the women of old, whose lives have been stopped because they couldn't roll away the stone that was blocking their path to the life and hope. Roll away the stones of despair and hopelessness, that the light of Jesus Christ may shine into the darkness to bring joy and warmth again. Roll away the stones for those still stuck on Good Friday, those whose strength is falling through ill health. We offer our thanks for your continued comfort and healing to Carol, John, Ken and Margaret, and Joyce. We pray for those whose spirits are flagging through grief. We remember Ruth and her family. In the light and the glory of resurrection, we pray for our world, for places of violence and hostility, and we pray for Ukraine and Russia, for lands where famine, natural disasters, and diseases are rife, for all those who today would struggle to find joy in the resurrection story. We pray for our church, for Ross and her family, preachers and office bearers, that they may offer wise and sensitive leadership. Encourage our members that we may be true to our calling to follow the risen Christ. On this Easter day, hear our own prayers in silence as we remember those who are nearest and dearest to our own hearts. Dear Lord, please accept and bless our offerings in cash, through standing orders or direct debits, and accept ourselves too. Use them and us to glorify your kingdom here on earth and in heaven. This we ask in the name of the risen Christ. Amen. Please join me in prayer to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
We sing together, Christ is alive, and please remain standing at the end of the hymn. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, Peace be with you. Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah, the peace of the risen Christ be always with you.
And also with you. Hallelujah.
And let us from our places share the peace to those who are around us. Here is bread, God's good gift. Here is wine, God's good gift. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessing and honour, glory and power are rightly yours, all gracious God. By your creative word, you brought the world to birth. In your generous love, you made the human family, that we might see your glory and live forever in your presence.
Blessing and honor, glory and power are yours, O gracious God.
When we had wandered from you in our sin, you sought us with your steadfast love and did not give us up. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son to be our Saviour and Deliverer. Made of flesh and blood, he lived our life and died our death upon the cross. Death could not hold him, and now he reigns at your right hand. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we bless and praise your glorious name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed indeed is the Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his friends took bread and gave you thanks, broke it and gave it to them and said, Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup and gave you thanks, gave it to them and said, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for everyone for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Therefore, Father, we celebrate this Passover of gladness, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise. Send your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Gather us who share this feast into the kingdom of your glory, that with all your people in every time and place we may praise and worship you forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Heavenly Father, now and always. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We meet the risen Christ in the breaking of bread. Draw near with faith. Of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life.
body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. And let us pray together. God of our salvation, we thank you for our communion with the risen Christ and with all who love him in earth and heaven. We pray that, strengthened by his grace, we may serve you faithfully all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In a moment we will sing our final hymn together this morning, and at the end of which, if you would sit down again, please. So we sing, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Just to remind you that there is tea and coffee which will be served after the service, so please do stay so that we can continue in fellowship on this great day in our faith. And also, we have at least two birthdays that I know of over this weekend, one of which is Mandy. Stand up, Mandy. I have to get her back sometimes, you know, don't I? I really do. And Barbara. You stand up, Barbara? Barbara's had her, had her 85th. I hope you don't mind me. Well, I've said it now, haven't I? Her 85th birthday this weekend. Oh, and Catherine. Issachar, stand up, stand up. Is there anybody else whose birthday I might have missed that's around now? So we're going to sing happy birthday to Mandy, to Barbara, and to Catherine. Thanks, John.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mandy, Barbara, and Catherine. Happy birthday to you.
Hooray. And now a blessing. God, the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen us to walk with him in his risen life. And may Almighty God bless us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Go in joy and peace and love to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Alleluia.